Thank you so much. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1. And also, I need to find out who here needs a handout. We do have some handouts for tonight, starting our stewarding life study. Does anybody need one of these? Can we get a couple ushers that can help with those? Caleb's got a couple of extras right here. Anybody else need a... I understand the verses there printed are very small, but I'll be quoting some of them. But you could fill in the blank. You don't have to do this. This is just for those that do like to have a little outline for our study. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that You would lead, Holy Spirit, and God, take the Word of God and the truths of this study and help us to truly steward the life that You have blessed us with. God, would You lead us tonight? We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a desire in this study to understand the importance and the purpose of the life that God has blessed us with. This first chapter is a little bit of introduction, but God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for you. He's equipped you especially. There's not another you on this earth. There never has been another you, and there will never be another you. Some of you may be saying, "Well, that's probably a good thing, Pastor." But no, with all seriousness, you are special. You are. You are specially created for a special task that God has designed just for you. That is beautiful. And, you know, the devil will do everything he can to distract us from fulfilling that. I'm thankful for all the age groups and the seasons of life we have here tonight, because at every season there is a purpose that God has planned. I hope you continue each day to seek to fulfill that purpose. You can go in the bookstore today, whether it be Barnes & Noble. How many of you like going into Barnes & Noble every once in a while? Just going in there. The one in Athens got a Starbucks, just saying. You can go in there and take a look at that. You be sure to share that with Tim, okay, Miss Catherine. But with all seriousness, you know, you got some bookstores. How many of you like going into the Goodwill and the others and looking at their books, all right? Yeah. So you go in there and you go to these different bookstores, and I'm telling you right now, they got books on all kinds of life management. They got things that you can do for organizing, for scheduling, for budgeting. The number exceeds more than we can imagine. Life management is a popular, it really is a popular and necessary skill. But I want to go beyond that. In this study, it goes beyond just life management. Okay? It comes back to something that we understand as Christians, as it goes than just trying to be successful in our own dreams. Yes, it's about reaching our full potential of leadership and growth, but let me explain this. Stewarding life has a different concept. It's different. Rather than focusing on self-fulfillment and personal legacy, we start by recognizing that life is a gift from God. It is a gift from God that He has entrusted us with, and that He is teaching us to be stewards of Him. And it's a beautiful concept that we understand that our time, our finances, our health, our relationships, our family, our influence, every aspect of life is a resource from God. And so we decide as believers, you know what? I want to make the best use of my life, the resources that God has given me, and it's for His glory. It has been said that there are three basic methods of people that choose to appropriate the resources God has given them. The one here is mentioned first is the squandering. This is a group of people that squander God's resources when we indiscriminately waste them in purposeless living. It's kind of the idea of live and let live. It's sort of a directionless life. And it's just wasting the beautiful life God intends us to have for His glory. When you consider the opportunities the Lord gives us to live, the mission that He gives to invest our lives in eternal purposes, can you imagine the tragedy when it's wasted? We don't want to waste our life. You know, again, everybody has a waste basket in your home and probably several different rooms where things we just discard that there's no use for them. You know what, brothers and sisters? We don't want to do that with the lives God's blessed us with. We want to make the best of it. Let Him use it every day. He's got a purpose for you today. He's going to have if you have breath tomorrow when you wake up, I hope you wake up knowing that you have purpose. God's got something special for you to do. It may not be sensational. It may not be spectacular. But Jesus even said that He that gives a cup of cold water in My name does it unto the least of these, does it unto Me. So we always have something to go about each day to try to be an encouragement. We don't want to waste our life, but then there's the spending. Not just the squandering, but then there's a group that's the spending. And those have often been sort of the other spectrum, if you will, the other side of the road. And those are those that just spend life without being replenished. They often will just burn out and fizzle out because they don't take time to find nourishment for their lives, spiritual nourishment. And they go full throttle many times on adrenaline without depending on the Lord. And what happens is they get burnt out, they get frustrated, they get discouraged, and they're spent. And God doesn't want us to do that. In fact, the study that I'm doing, Paul Chappell, God led him to write this book, and then he did a journal as well. I think it was probably about, we're in 2025. I think it was around 2012 where he nearly had a nervous breakdown. He was very near of having a heart attack. His blood pressure was through the roof, and the doctors basically told him, look, if you don't stop and slow down and change some things, you're not going to live much longer. So he and his wife just took a little sabbatical and out to where his grandfather had a ranch in, I believe, Colorado. But nevertheless, he wrote this book. God led and gave him the principles and the truths here that helped him to continue. And one of the things that he considered himself, he was a spender. He was trying to pour out that which he didn't have. He was going through all the motions and doing all these things, but he had not taken time to take care of himself. It's important. It may be in the name of sacrifice, but even that can be misapplied. Yes, we are to be living sacrifices. No doubt about that. That is Bible. But the Bible also teaches that we find our strength through Christ. It's not self-dependence. It's not self-reliance. And it's certainly not thinking that we're the Messiah to everyone's life. Because we're not. And also the other thing that can easily, these people that are spenders, is that, get this, I hope it doesn't step on any toes here besides mine, I'm stepping on, but this is another group, a characteristic of this group. I spoke about it this morning. They're the type of people that like to be in control. They want control. And they end up being burnt out because they're trying to control every situation in their life and not trusting the Lord to lead them, to provide them, to give them the wisdom and guidance. And yes, there are actions we take. It's not just that, okay, we sit back, close our eyes, and twiddle our thumbs. I'm not talking about that. But we go through life thinking that we have to be the Messiah and have to be the fixer, the creator, the problem solver of every situation. And that's not what God wants. God is sovereign, and He's working mightily in and through our lives. And we got to remember, we can only give out that which we have. So, not only does God create life, but He sustains it. And that's what He's wanting to do. But the third category is where we all should be striving. And that is stewarding. Stewarding life means I recognize life itself as a gift from God, and I use it for His purpose and for His glory. So as we think about made in the image of God, we think automatically the origin of life. That's number one in your handout. He has a special purpose for you. It all began by Him creating you in the womb. And yes, we believe that the Bible teaches that life begins at conception. That's where your life began. That's where my life began. Right there in my mother's womb, I was. That's where God created my life. And praise the Lord, He had a purpose for me even there. As my mother back there in 1979 found out that she was expecting, and my dad, from what I understand, was just thrilled and excited. I was born in July, and just a little early, but you know, even then, even though my parents weren't living for the Lord then, in fact, my dad wasn't even saved, and he wouldn't get saved until later on. He was an alcoholic, and I didn't know him as an alcoholic, and I thank God for that. But I think about all this, even then, born in Greenwood, South Carolina in 1980 on July 2nd, even before that day I was born, God knew that I would be pastoring at Crooked Creek Baptist Church in 2025. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for you. And each day, let's realize that God's doing something special. He is our eternal God. He is the one that is the creator of the universe, and He created you and me to bring Himself glory. He is the fountain of life, as Psalm 36 says, and it's Him we're going to find light. It's in God we're going to find purpose. We find so many people around us in this world trying to find purpose for living. I don't mean this in a negative way, because I know we all can look forward to the weekend to a certain degree, but we don't want to be those people that their only hope and their only reason to live for is for Friday. Nothing wrong with looking for the weekend, being able to rest, relax some. I'm not being critical of that, but folks, for the believer, we have purpose every single day. We are. We understand that each day God's got something for us, and that's what we want to go after. Lord, show me. He's the great I am. He's God alone. He's the self-existing one, and He alone has the power to create and give life, and letter B is our creating God. That word created, He brings into existence, and we read that He made us in the image. Now, God made so many beautiful things, did He not? He made the beautiful mountains and the beautiful clouds. He made the planets. He made the animals. I mean, His creation is marvelous. But you know, His prize creation, and never forget this, His prize creation are human beings. You and me. That is His prize creation. You know, when When He created man, Adam, you know, He realized that Adam was alone. Adam needed a helpmeet. I heard one commentator said this: when God created Adam and realized He needed a helpmeet, He said, "Well, I think I can do better than that." And that's where woman came along. There might be some truth to that. But all, with all seriousness, He created them male and female, and to come together to form a family. And I think upon the families here in our church, and I think of these children that God is working in their hearts already. Children being saved and getting a heart for God. I'm thankful here recently we have teenagers that are just, you can tell God's hands on their heart, and they're seeking the Lord. They're seeking Him. I'm looking across and seeing parents and singles, and I'm seeing all seasons of life. The hand of God is on you, and you're letting the Lord guide you. Even in times of trial, you realize God has created you for a purpose. You know, have you ever wished to travel back in time and just observe certain miracles in Scripture? Does anybody have a particular miracle that you'd like to see sometime if God lets us go back and see them? Anybody have a particular one they'd like to see? Yes, the Red Sea. Yes, that's a good one. Amen. Somebody else? Oh, yes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery fire. Yeah, raising of the dead after the resurrection there. Amen. That would have been a sight to see. I'm here to tell you, we could go back and think upon all those. But I tell you one thing, you may not think about this, but how awesome would it have been when God created man from the dust of the earth. Just from the dirt, God just brought together and formed man and breathed. The Bible says breathed into him life. Wow. And made him in the image of himself. I believe that is indeed a true miracle of God as we think upon our Creator. But number two, we see this not only origin of life, but the sanctity of life. Until we understand the value of the gift of life, we're prone to squander it. Like, we won't care. We won't take care of it. But life is sanctified. Because it's been provided by God. Letter A is because it's been provided by God. It's a gift, is it not? Life is a gift. And that's what we want. God told Jeremiah that he knew him and he had planned his life purpose before he was born, as I mentioned earlier. I think of John the Baptist, the same thing. I think of the psalmist when he said in Psalm 139, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." The Lord knows. He's doing a work. We give Him praise. Letter B here, it is because it is protected by God. Life is protected by God. This is a main point number two. It is protected by the Lord. We understand God protects life. You know, we understand that abortion is a real tragedy in our country. And folks, we don't ever need to forget about it. Let's not. And I know. Listen, I'm just speaking to us heart to heart. Let's don't ever get used to abortion taking place. Let's let it break our hearts. And by the way, let's always be thinking about how we can pray also for the unborn. Let's pray that perhaps God would raise up parents to adopt. And foster children and things of that nature, things that we can do to help. And we pray for the pro-life clinics that offer women hope and ultrasounds and try to encourage them and be there to love them, to show the love of Jesus. Let's pray for those places. Let's support them. Let's encourage them. We do as a church. We will continue to do that. God wants to protect life. And I believe that abortion, though, just like any other sin, God can forgive it. I've met women that have had abortions and have met the Lord and just realized how God forgave them and gave them a new life. And you could just see the glow of God on their face. But now God's using them to encourage other women that are considering abortion. They realize they're forgiven, but they also realize that it was sin, that abortion is murder. It is killing a life that did not have a choice. But God forgives that. and God will restore anyone that's had one. But I'm here to tell you, we ought, as Christians, we ought to be pro-life people. And encourage even families, as God says, hey, be fruitful and multiply. And I'm thankful for the babies being born in our church. I'm hoping we'll have some more news in the coming days and the coming weeks. I think it's a great thing. Amen? Let's have that nursery filled up. And we certainly want to be pro-life, pro-children, pro-family. And just seeing the Lord. I know that it's just like one preacher said. He said, look, the Bible does say be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, but don't feel like you got to do it all by yourself. We see here that God cares about life. All right. We know the Ten Commandments. That sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. We believe God puts great value on human life. We even see that the principle in Genesis 9:6. If anybody sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For he is in the image of God made he man. The New Testament affirms the same. If you go over to Romans chapter 13, we don't have time to look there. But number three, moving quickly here, we see the sovereignty of God over life. Even going back to what we're going to learn through Esther, God is leading you. Be thankful, even though there are some unfortunate situations in our life, be thankful for your family, where you've come from, what God has brought you through, the weaknesses that you have. I want you to think about that right now. Each one of you in this room, every one of us has some sort of weakness. It might be of a personality. It might be of an ability. It might just be, I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord has allowed that to come in your life to give you victory so that you can help others. You have a purpose that you, God's going to, by His grace, going to help you to be an overcomer so that you can turn around and say, brother, sister, I struggle with that same thing. I know what you're going through. It's the sovereignty of God. That is precious. I think of Sarah. Huh? You know, she didn't think she would be able to have children. Abraham didn't either. But look what God did in their lives. They had a honeymoon in their 90s. What a blessing that was. I think of Hannah. She cried out to God. Didn't think she could have children, was barren, but God in His sovereign plan allowed them to have children. I think of Elizabeth with John the Baptist. They were in their later years of life and how the Lord overruled and just truly blessed. Brother John Van Gelderen didn't talk about it much, but some of you may know his testimony. He and his wife, I believe Mary Ann Van Gelderen, they prayed for many years to have children. Do you recall how many years? I believe it was 17 years. And God gave him a son, little John Jr. Now he's a student at Pensacola Christian College. But the Lord has a way, and sometimes it may not be natural childbirth. It may be through adoption. Like you said, there are various ways God can just bless and lead people, but in His sovereign plan, He gives life. Life is a blessing indeed. I think about Moses. Think about the sovereign plan for Moses. They threw him in the river. Look what God did to preserve his life. They weren't trying to get rid of him. They were trying to protect him. And that's a whole story in itself. Let's rejoice in the value of life tonight. You know, our forefathers knew the truth of God's blessings and of what His Word teaches. And our country, America, was established on Judeo-Christian principles. In fact, in 1774, the very first Continental Congress invited a minister, Jacob Duchesne, to begin each session in prayer. Again, the Constitutional Convention of 1787, Benjamin Franklin proposed that the convention open each day in prayer. And then now, if you even go today, Brother Clyde's not here, but if you approach the chamber of the United States Senate from the east, for example, you'll see the words at the entrance. It's in Latin, but what it says is, God has favored our undertakings. And you look to the southern entrance of the same building, and you'll find the words, in God we trust. They understand that life comes from God, and it's to be used for His glory. Our forefathers understood that. I think of Revelation 4:11 when it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Get this. For Thou hast created how many things? All things, and for Thy pleasure they were and are created. It's for that we are created for the pleasure of God, not for our own pleasure. Young people, if I can help you understand something, and if I can get a hold of it too, and every adult in this room, that we were created not for our own pleasure, but for the pleasure of God. To spend our life with Him and to exalt Him, to love and adore Him, and get to know Him better and better. Listen, you want to try to find a joyful life? Make your life just about being pleasing to the Lord. You got one life, 'twill soon be passed, C.T. Studd. Only what's done for Christ will last. Letter C, we have the conclusion of our earthly life. We got to be ready to meet the Lord, don't we? Sometimes God allows a life to end because of sin, as in the case of the flood of Noah's day. But also we understand that it's just a natural ending for us. We all are going to meet our Maker one day. Sometimes God overrides even in life and gives us extra life. You think about Hezekiah. He called and said, Lord, would you, he called out to the Lord and said, would you give me an extra 15 years? Did God give it to him? That's what the Bible says. So there was a life giving. God gives extra life, and He can cut life short, but nevertheless, He is sovereign over life. But we understand life is loaned to us at God's good pleasure. And we understand that our life is about just simply understanding God is our portion. He certainly is. Now, as I close tonight's message, I want us to think about this. Life contains billions of variables. So many factors in your life and my life that are leading, are all around us all day. And many of them, quite frankly, are outside of our control. And if we want life to have significance and success, we got to look to God. We got to invest in knowing Him and knowing His heart and letting Him guide us and use us for His glory. Folks, let's make our life count for the Lord. I always say this, and I'll say it again and again and again. I want the Lord, if He were to come now, or if I were to take my last breath, I want Him to take me or find me trusting Him. I want Him to find me loving Him. I want Him to find me serving Him. I don't want Him to find me with any bitterness in my life. I don't want Him to find me with any those strongholds in my life. I want to my life to count for Him. And as we close out, let's look at the promise of eternal life. I love this quote here about the promise of eternal life. Sometimes we think we're in the land of the living on our way to the land of the dying, when in fact, we're in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. Amen. We're on our way to the land of the living. We're in the land of the dying, but thank God we've been made alive in Christ, and we're going to go out there and make an impact and a difference as we steward life. It's all because, if you're filling in the blank there, we know it comes from our eternal God. We know, letter B, it comes because of an empty tomb after Jesus died and rose again the third day. And as we conclude in our message tonight, let's understand that God has given each of us a unique set of desires, abilities, and gifts to fulfill our purpose creatively. So let's go and do it. As we think about stewarding life, would you make a decision tonight that, Lord, I want my life to be stewarded for Your glory. I don't want to make this about my pleasure. I want to make this about your pleasure. Guide me, the Lord. Guide me, O God. I want my life to count. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the challenge of your word tonight. And may we all be filled with hope and peace tonight, knowing, God, that you have created us with a purpose. And even though, Lord, we're living in a fallen world, a dying world, God, you have given us hope. You've given us life. Please, God, let us not waste it. Let us not waste it in any way. Let us not squander it, Lord, and let us not spend it in a way that is careless and foolish. May we trust you and rest in you. Oh God, would you work in our hearts with this truth in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're just going to give a simple invitation. Let's make some decisions even tonight of renewal. That, Lord, please don't let me waste my life. No matter what season, maybe you're retired here tonight. Maybe you're giving up. Maybe you're getting frustrated. Maybe there's some young people here tonight that you're just thinking about yourself. Would you be obedient to the Lord? Just let the Lord have His way.